You are Locked On Washington Football Team, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
We're Locked On the Washington Football Team, the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast. I am David Harrison, Washington Football TV writer for SI.com's Fan Nation. He is Chris Russell, one half of the Russell and Medler Show on the Team 980, Monday through Friday from 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern, and on the Odyssey app. We thank you for making the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms, and on Twitter, you can find us at WrestleMania621, DHarrison82, and LockedWFTPod. Unfortunately, Chris, we come together today to talk about a 43-21 loss to the Buffalo Bills by the Washington Football Team. Thanks again out there to our audience for making the Locked On Washington Football Team your first listen every day. And we're going to get into what happened in this game in a little bit of a deep dive, our immediate analysis. But first, let's kind of recap how this whole thing went down. The Buffalo Bills opened up scoring in the first quarter, the only score of the first quarter, a 28-yard touchdown, rather, by Josh Allen to Emmanuel Sanders, giving them an early 7-0 lead and opening drive touchdown. We will talk about that, I am sure. In the second quarter, a lot more scoring going on, unfortunately, mostly done by the Buffalo Bills. Again, Josh Allen finding running back Zach Moss for a 7-yard touchdown play that made it 14-0. And then Josh Allen again to Dawson Knox, his tight end, from 14 yards, for another touchdown at the time, 21-0. All Buffalo Bills. That happened with 10:48 left in the second quarter. But 42 seconds later on game clock time, Taylor Heinicke hits a screen pass to running back Antonio Gibson, who goes 73 yards total for a touchdown, the first Washington Football Team touchdown of the game, cutting the lead to 21-7. And on their very next possession, which came on the very next offensive play, Taylor Heinicke finishes that drive with a 4-yard touchdown run on the scramble. It makes it 21-14. Buffalo still in the league before Tyler Bass makes it 24-14. Buffalo with a 21-yard field goal. And then he would add a 48-yard field goal as Buffalo went into the locker rooms at halftime with a 27-14 lead. Washington still mathematically in it and had a little bit of signs of life. But as the second half went on, all that was pretty much snuffed out. First and foremost, Josh Allen goes short left side of the field to Emmanuel Sanders for another touchdown, making it 33-14 after a 2-point conversion attempt fails, broken up by rookie cornerback Benjamin St. Juice for WFT. Tyler Bass hit another 29-yard field goal in the third quarter, making it 36-14 Buffalo. And then Buffalo would score yet another touchdown. Josh Allen, his fifth score of the game, 4 throwing, 1 running, this one from 2 yards out, a touchdown. 43-14 was the score at that time, 10.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Taylor Heinicke would connect with Logan Thomas, the tight end, from 2 yards out for a late touchdown for the Washington Football Team. And that would be the end of the scoring in this game again, as the Washington Football Team falls 43-21. They fall to 1-2 on the year. Chris, we're going to talk about the Washington Football Team, of course. That is what we're here for. It's a Locked On Washington Football Team podcast. But of course, it takes two to tango, right? And there's another party in this dance. So let's talk about the Buffalo Bills and what you saw from them on Sunday.
Yeah. I saw a lot, and I'm still here as we record this at Highmark Stadium in Orchard Park, New York. And it's been a while since I've heard the Bills make me want to shout as many times as I heard today, David. It's a song that they play after every score, not just after every touchdown. And just as I peruse the box score, I mean, obviously, when you score 43 points, there is a lot of scoring, but there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 scoring plays in this game to contribute to those 43 points. So that means I heard that song 8 times. That's about 5 more times than ideally you want to hear that song when you come to Orchard Park, New York. And obviously, this was a putrid effort all around by Washington, which we'll get into, and a very good, for the most part, all around effort by the Buffalo Bills. I mean, what else can you say about Josh Allen? Obviously, 5 total touchdowns. And Emmanuel Sanders is a guy that, you know, like everybody was worried about Stephon Diggs, and Stephon Diggs, you know, played a role. But nobody was really talking up Emmanuel Sanders, and yet he goes for almost 100 yards, a couple of scores, and contributed to another big, it was a field goal drive with a 41-yard catch pass, Kendall Fuller. So You know, when you put it all together, I mean, hell, even Mitch Trubisky got into this game, right? And had a 19-yard, not a 19-yard run, a 22-yard run, 19 yards rushing overall because he had a couple of other carries and kneel downs for negative yardage. But the point of the matter is you didn't want to see Mitch Trubisky in this game unless Josh Allen was struggling really bad or unless he got injured. And neither of those two were true. So, you know, the Buffalo Bills, we know that they are a team that was one step away from the Super Bowl last year. I don't think anybody should be surprised that they won this game. How much they won this game by, how easy it was ultimately at times outside of one, you know, couple of drive stretch there in the second quarter. That's what we should all, I guess, be alarmed by, surprised by, and concerned by.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and for the Buffalo offense, look, I mean, I don't know right now how hard it really is to game plan against this defense, but they came out with the perfect game plan. And something that I wrote for SI.com during the week leading up to the game was that there were two sides of this thing that were coming in struggling. And one side obviously was the Washington football team defense. I think the Washington football team offense, for, you know, any deficiencies and for the mistakes they've been making, a lot of people kind of giving them a little bit of credit, you know, cutting them a little bit of slack because you had a brand new quarterback. Then he gets injured, so your backup comes in who hasn't been preparing to be the starter, even though everybody says, I prepare like I'm starting, got it. But the team hasn't been preparing to be the starter. They come in, short week, Thursday night, they're missing Curtis Samuel. Like, there's just a lot of moving pieces for the offense. So a lot of people have given them a little bit of a bye. But because they're giving the offense a little bit of a bye, the defense is getting a nice, bright spotlight shown on them. So coming into this week, it was really imperative for this defense to get off of this, the yips or this bad streak, whatever it is they're suffering from, and continue Josh Allen's bad streak, because he hadn't started the season off very well at all. Coming in, you know, last year was an MVP candidate. This year, you know, his team is 1-1, and even the game they won, really not so much because of him, almost in spite of him. And just in the first half alone, matched his season total in touchdown passes. He had 3 touchdowns coming into the game for the year, had 3 in the first half. In the first half alone, eclipsed his season high in passing yards for a single game just in the first 2 quarters of this game. Finishes with 358 yards passing, the 4 touchdowns, throws the 1 run, like you mentioned, no interceptions, 129.8 quarterback rating. And we'll get into the offense a little bit, but just to compare, like you mentioned, Mitch Trubisky gets in the game, 79.2 quarterback rating for Mitch Trubisky, 1 for 1 for 1 yard. Taylor Heineke finished with an 80.6, 1.5 points higher in the QBR scale, which I don't even understand how they do QBR, but it's just an interesting anecdotal, really, statistic to look at, is how close their quarterback ratings are, despite the fact that Trubisky literally came in for 1 throw. And then you mentioned Emmanuel Sanders. I'll mention Cole Beasley. Honestly, I almost kind of forgot Cole Beasley existed in the NFL. I haven't really heard about him or much from him since his, you know, mid-offseason COVID vaccine debacle, where I didn't follow completely, but I know he decided to make a stand and come out and speak. Right. And hey, listen, bravo for anybody out there willing to stand up for what they believe in. I know it did not go well for him, which I think he probably expected a little bit, but it is what it is. So the first time he started getting involved in this game, I was kind of like, oh yeah, Cole Beasley. I remember he's the guy that was out there. 13 targets, 11 catches. I heard on the television broadcast, ties a career high, 98 yards received, no touchdowns, but I think he's okay not getting in the end zone given the results of the game.
But there were way too many instances, and obviously it's a high volume count of throw and catch. It's like having a catch in your backyard. That's what Josh Allen was doing specifically a lot of the day with Cole Beasley and Emmanuel Sanders, but specifically Cole Beasley. It was a lot of 3-step drops, a lot of quick drops, boom, get the ball out, avoid the pass rush, get it into him, you know, and you pick up 6, 7, 8 yards at a pop, and all of a sudden you're putting together a 93-yard scoring drive.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Buffalo Bills putting up 3 points, you know, again, should be, it's a surprise, right? Because you expect this defense to be a lot better, but nobody should be surprised that they were successful on offense if you've been watching the Washington football team early on. All right, we'll continue along here on the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast. I'm Chris Russell here at Highmark Stadium in Orchard Park, New York. David Harrison is with us as well. We will continue right along after a demoralizing week 3 defeat in the NFL season. Guys, And Washington football team fans, I'm Chris Russell again with an incredible app everyone who buys gas, and that's you and you and me, needs to know about. That's GetUpside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free GetUpside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use the promo code TOUCHDOWN and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back by using GetUpside. Just download the app for free and use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50 cents a gallon per cash back on your first tank. Some people who are driving a lot, making as much as $200 to $300 in cash back. That's pretty cool, right? And the cash goes right back into your account. Whatever way you pay or whatever way you link, I should say, is the way you're going to get paid, through PayPal or an e-gift card for Amazon or other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app. Use the promo code TOUCHDOWN. And again, get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. That's code TOUCHDOWN. David and I tell you to go to GetUpside.
Here at the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast, we are back and we are better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron, especially ours, as the football season is well underway. Almost a full quarter, Chris, of this season is down as we exit week three this weekend. As always, betonline.ag is your number one spot for all your pro and college football action this season. They've got new updated sites, interface, and even more odds, props, and contests. Betonline.ag continues to be your number one source for everything football. I myself took the points with the Washington football team. I put $14 on that. Obviously, I lost because they were 7-point underdogs and lost by more than 7 points. But I headed over to that website. I signed up. I got my welcome bonus. You too can sign up, get a welcome bonus using the promo code Locked On. Whether it's football, basketball, boxing, write down your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet online is your fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts.
Yes. Hello, guys. How you doing? Antoine Tony Talks. Been a longtime Washington football team fan. Would just like to know and question, why isn't Jared Patterson used as a running back and Antonio Gibson to come out as a pass catcher? He used to be one before he was a running back. If he has used in the slot or as on third down passing because he can catch. And also, just if Jared Patterson is there, use him as a running back, not as the full-time running back. And also, let's confess and call it like it is. Our team stinks. We love them, but, you know, our offense is as vanilla as Alaska. They need another play caller. Turner is, I can predict his plays. My little boy predicts his plays. My cat predicts his plays. They're all the same. They've always been the same. And the defense, do we have one? Okay, guys. Love y'all, guys. Keep it up. Keep up the good work. I'll keep listening. Thank you.
All right, we are back here on the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast. Once again, I'm Chris Russell from Highmark Stadium in Orchard Park, New York, as week three comes to a close for the Washington Football Team. Along with David Harrison, the Washington Football Team drops to 1-2, getting blown out by the now 2-1 Buffalo Bills, 43 to 21. So reacting to that voicemail, there was a lot there to unpack, David. I mean, I heard about predictable play calling, Antonio Gibson. I guess I'll let you do most of the opinionizing here. I'll just say this. Listen, they're not going to fire Scott Turner three games in to the 2021 season. That's all I have to say. They're not going to do it.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I will say, so coaching matters, right? And so that's a very important thing to remember. It's not all on the players. It's also not all on the coaches either, but it's on the coaches first before it's on the players is kind of the way I'll put it. And that's a general statement. You know what I mean? Each individual relationship and performance is on it. It's going to be evaluated on its own. So that doesn't necessarily apply to every single guy. You know, like it's not on, you know, Scott Turner or any other coach on the Washington football team staff that De'Ami Brown dropped a wide open pass. Like that's not on the coaches, that's on De'Ami Brown. Mm-hmm. So I don't take that to mean every single thing that happens is on the coaches first, but generally speaking, it's on the coaches first. I like what Antonio said. First of all, I love the saying of as vanilla as Alaska. I've never heard that before and I'm going to steal it. But the next thing is that's something that we talked about a little bit. I don't want to get too deep into it because we do need to give our initial takeaways about on the offense and defense, but we talked about this offense basically only being limited by the lack of creativity from Scott Turner. And so far in this season, we're seeing a very severe lack of creativity. And I'm wondering, like Antonio is, why Jarrett Patterson is on this active roster if he's not going to be employed? Because there are scenarios, and you go back to that fourth and one where they tried to sneak Taylor Heinicke up the middle. When you have a quarterback that runs like a gazelle on the outside and you use him to try to go right up the middle, there was a guy on this roster that potentially could have picked up that yard. His name was Peyton Barber. You waived him. He got picked up by the Raiders. He's in Las Vegas now. And you don't have a running back that matches the level of intensity, the level of bowling ball characteristic. I don't know if that's really a proper explanation, but you don't have a guy like that. Like even Jarrett Patterson, who really runs really hard, really straight, is not built the way a Peyton Barber is, even when he's smaller. So a little bit of confusion about what the coaching staff is doing, but that I think that's more for our takeaway episode. So Antonio, definitely we're going to expand on that. But right now, Chris, I want to get into our initial takeaways from the offense and defense.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, on offense, this game to me was much less about creative play calling and Scott Turner and all that other window dressing stuff that everybody's going to gripe and whine about all week, as it was about execution. I mean, Taylor Heinicke, I thought, had clearly his worst day as a quarterback with this organization. I did not think he was very good today. I thought he made some decent throws, obviously the one late to Logan Thomas for the touchdown. Look, I mean, I'm not trying to be mean here, but he had two interceptions. He probably could have had four or five, David. I mean, honestly, if we're being honest, there were some really bad decisions. I think he self-admitted that. Ron Rivera talked about that after the game. I was down at the press conferences, you know, about trying too much, pressing too much. And that is natural. That happens. The other big offensive takeaway that I have, how many big third down penalties did this team take? And they had a couple of turnovers on third down. They had one third down wiped away on their first offensive drive. Terry McLaurin caught a pass on a little cross route J.D. McKissic caught for offensive pass interference. They had a Logan Thomas fumble on a third down completion that would have gone for a first down. There was another third down penalty. I believe it was also on Logan Thomas. I'll have to double check that, but I know that was also, you know, when you go 2 of 11 on third down or whatever it was, never mind before we get to the defense and how bad they were on third down, the offense was dreadful on third down. Yeah. And again, a lot of these big mistakes happen there. So let's not talk about creative design and all that bull crap and nonsense, and it's a waste of time. Execute better and you will play better. Yep. And then the coordinator will look better.
That's absolutely true. Listen, it's very hard. And again, I want to get deeper into this on our takeaways episode because I do have some thoughts on this, but it's hard for a coordinator to expand when they can't execute the simple stuff. And that's something that I think every fan needs to remember. And that's going to bleed into our conversation tomorrow. So again, please come back for that conversation because I definitely have some things to say, and I don't know that Chris is going to like every single thing that I have to say, but I will say this about the offense. 7 out of 11 drives in this game, 3 plays or less, and not all those were punts. Interception on a 3-play drive, another interception on a 3-play drive, 7 out of 11. That's not quite 70%. It's like 68.8% of Washington football team offensive drives in this game ended in 3 plays or less. And then another 2, Chris, ended in 4, and one more ended in 5. Like, you have 2 out of 11 drives that even lasted more than 5 plays in this game. Absolutely horrid, horrid execution. Like you said, that is not all in the coaching staff, but there's some stuff I do want to talk about with that. Let's switch over to the defense because you flip that over, Chris, and I haven't even done an official count, but I can see right here, I already have 5-6 drives for the Buffalo Bills that lasted at least 8 plays in this game, a very large discrepancy. So what do you think about the defense?
Yeah, I mean, it was awful from the start. Again, first drive carved up like Thanksgiving turkey. That's 3 games, 3 opening drives, 3 touchdowns, and they have offered very little resistance, quite honestly. This time was an 8-play, 75-yard drive. The Giants game, it was, I think, a 10-play drive. I think the Charger game was a 9-play drive. You get the point. I mean, they're coming out. Nobody seems to have an answer as to why. I asked players, I asked coaches throughout the week. I asked Chase Young after today's game. Nobody seems to have an answer as to why they're not firing on all cylinders coming out of the gate. And then I'll give you one more just for me. The most demoralizing thing was you start to get back in the game, right? You get the Taylor Heinicke 4-yard touchdown run, and it's a 21-14 game. And then they give up two field goals, two scoring drives. Yeah. Yes, both field goals, but two scoring drives. And they both end in a field goal. And one was 7 plays, one was 5 plays, one for 55 yards, one for 51 in the final minute and 37 seconds of the half. And then you come out and give up a 93-yard drive on the first series of the third. Please, enough. I mean, like, everybody keeps saying, oh, you know, we're this, we're that, we've got to work better, it's little things, what have you. I get it. I understand there's no easy fix, but I mean, stop acting like this isn't a major problem is what I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'll say this. I don't think any social media experts out there have the exact answer on what needs to happen with the Washington football team defense, but right now neither does Jack Del Rio. And that's just a fact that needs to be faced. And, you know, he himself and the players and the leaders on the team, you know, heard Chase Young talking about no BS, and he doesn't want to deal with people that are BSing, and that's all fine and good. And that mentality is good. But again, the proof is going to be in the play on the field and how you're starting, how you're finishing. First drive of the game, like you said, 4-minute drive, last drive of the game, last real drive of the game, 5-minute drive. I mean, that's, you can't win with those types of things happening to your football team. But I'll tell you one way that our listeners can win, and that is by getting your television together, because I'm going to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle. It's called DirecTV Stream. It brings you your live TV, your on-demand favorites like never before, which means you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So stop waiting. Get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com for DirecTV Stream.
All right, David and I have a serious question. What's your favorite Built Bar flavor? Well, the chances are you have more than one. I know for me, I have more than one. I love most of them, if not all of them, but my overall favorite is peanut butter brownie. I've got some waiting for me when I get back from Buffalo. David loves the mint brownie. You might love the coconut almond or the cherry or the double chocolate or the salted caramel. There's really something for everyone when you are in the Built Bar business. That's right. When you go to built.com, you are going to find out more about different ways to kind of package what you want and get what you want, the flavors that you like. And you're also going to go in armed with this information. They are wonderful for you, high in protein, low in calories, low in sugar, low in net carbs. Just think about replacing that bowl of ice cream at the end of the night with a healthy, delicious Built Bar covered in 100% chocolate. So again, go to built.com right now and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your first order. Use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com.
Final segment here at the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast. David Harrison and Chris Russell reacting to a Washington Football Team 43-21 loss to the Buffalo Bills. On Twitter, you can find us at dHarrison82, at WrestleMania621. The show is at LockedWFTPod. And Chris, we have an email. AW from Northwest Florida emailed us instead of calling us. I think he tried to call recently. It didn't go very well. So he decided to email. First off, Chris, he wanted to thank us. And I'm going to kind of paraphrase. It's a very long email. So AW, I hope you're okay with it. I'm going to kind of paraphrase your thoughts here. We appreciate the email, of course. AW appreciates us allowing the opportunity to let fans engage with not just us, but also with each other, because as we're going to hear in a voicemail tomorrow, this is also an opportunity for fans across the country, across the world. Even we've had, you know, Scotland has called in to really interact with each other as well. And here's what AW had to say. He imagines a lot of fans are going to be critical of Taylor Heinicke. We've been a little bit critical of him already. We're going to get deeper into this game tomorrow. Some more of that may or may not come out, depending on how this loss resonates with each of us as we get 24 hours to kind of think it over and rewatch it potentially. I know I'm going to. Admits that he made a lot of bad decisions, but he's hoping that Heinicke is going to come back from this with some improvement, and that this is going to be the atypical performance, not the typical performance, noting that he doesn't have the greatest arm strength. He doesn't have, you know, the greatest accuracy, but he does have enough accuracy, enough arm strength when he makes the right plays. And I think that we probably agree on that anyway, but basically saying he's hoping to see Taylor continue to grow and improve as far as the defense. He says that any Washington football team fan who isn't disappointed in the defense just isn't paying attention. He didn't expect them to be great, but he did expect them to be at a level of competition for being the NFC champs and for hoping to do that. Tackling does seem improved, but he wants to know what we would attribute the defensive struggles to, whether it's scheme, coaching, youth, or talent. Again, we'll get more into our takeaways on tomorrow's episode. He doesn't think it's talent. His untrained eye says it's scheme, so he really wants to know what we think. And then he wishes us a happy belated birthday. He says fellow Virgo, so I don't know when his birthday is, but apparently it's in this type of time of year. And then he finishes it with HTTWFTFKATR, hail to the Washington football team, formerly known as the Redskins. So, Chris, great email from AW. And that's going to kick off our plays of the game and players of the game.
Yeah, well, thank you, AW, and happy birthday if it is indeed your birthday, as you indicated. We appreciate the kind words. Yeah, for me, play of the game, David, this is a Washington football team podcast, but this story and this game was all about Josh Allen to Emmanuel Sanders. In my opinion, that was the money hookup for him. We mentioned Cole Beasley as well, but Sanders punched it in a couple of times, and it was a 5-yard touchdown catch, which capped off the 93-yard scoring drive. Again, first series of the third quarter, again, after those two bad drives at the end of the first half, when you just were getting back into it. To me, Sanders, who caught a touchdown pass from 28 yards on the first drive, then caps it off there, had the big 41-yard catch, as we mentioned earlier. But this particular play, to me, broke the back of the Washington football team. Again, it capped off a 93-yard scoring drive. They did whatever they wanted on that drive. And when I looked at it from my perch here in the press box in Orchard Park, New York, what happened was they were playing zone, and Benjamin St. Juste was on that side against Sanders, and he was playing zone, and Sanders just kind of ran an in and then an up and then a back behind Benjamin St. Juste, and Cam Curl was too late to kind of rotate over. I'm not sure if St. Juste played that wrong. I'm not sure who played it wrong, but somebody played it wrong because Emmanuel Sanders was wide open. And again, that was a big problem all game long. So David, your play of the game would be?
So my play of the game is going to be the silver lining play of the game. That is the Antonio Gibson screen, catches a screen pass, makes the run, 73-yard touchdown, really kind of sparked a little bit of a moment. It was about a minute and a half moment of where the Washington football team really came to life. And then unfortunately the defense wasn't able to keep the party going, but it is what it is. But that run alone has showed you at least there is talent on this team. There is absolutely talent and there is ability on this team. You know, some of it is situation is going to have to meet talent and execution and play call. And some of it is visible from the field. That play right there, especially the run. I mean, Antonio Gibson did a lot of really good things on that run. It wasn't just that Buffalo was caught short. Part of it, yes, obviously was that, but he did some things as well. And then the dedication, the effort at the end. I mean, if you've ever run like 70 yards on a football field with pads, you know what I mean? And I know it wasn't a scorcher there in Buffalo today. I think it was like 60 something degrees, but 60 something degrees is really hot when you're playing football in full pads and being chased by grown men. So a huge, huge effort by Antonio Gibson. So that's what I picked for my play of the game.
All right. And I'll go with my player of the game. And it's the same guy that I picked when you hosted solo on Friday's edition into the weekend. And that's Josh Allen. I thought he would come alive in this game. And boy, did he ever. Before today's game, he was 47 of 84, 449 yards combined in the two games, a 56% completion rate, 5.4 yards per attempt, 3 touchdowns and an interception, a 77.9 rating and no rushing touchdowns. He wound up obviously with 4 passing touchdowns, a rushing touchdown in this game. Obviously throwing, he was 32 of 43 for 358 yards. Again, I mentioned the 4 touchdowns, a 129.8 rating, and rushing, oh, by the way, he didn't have a lot of yards, 4 for 9 there, but he did have a rushing touchdown. So Josh Allen back on his MVP type track, if you will, in week 3.
Yeah, I think in a big way. And I'm going to give my player of the game award to the offensive line. And yes, there might be one guy that did better than everybody else, but the way we work these games, I can't identify a single offensive lineman out of the mix without watching the game at least 2 more times. So I'm just going to go with the entire offensive line. Look, Star Lotulelei, the Buffalo Bills defense tackle, who was actually questionable for the game at one point this week with an injury, ended up being fine by the end of the week, got the only sack. And really, it was just kind of a credited sack. I think Taylor was running and went out of bounds behind the line of scrimmage, so it's a sack. Really, outside of that, you know, there were moments of pressure and all those things, great. But man, I mean, Taylor had a lot of time, you know, to go through the defense, go through his progressions. on a lot of these plays. You know, I mean, funny enough, that screen pass to Antonio Gibson actually was one of the plays he had the least amount of time on and ended up with a touchdown. But I think the offensive line, given what could have happened, especially with, you know, how much this defense, how quickly rather Washington went, had to go pass heavy because of the score. It could have been a lot worse from a pressure standpoint, from a sack standpoint. Some of that's on Taylor, obviously, but still a little bit of a hat tip to the offensive line as well for coming out of this game with their quarterback relatively clean, except for when he takes really bad hits himself.
Absolutely, which he did at the end of the game. All right, we want to thank you guys again for making the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast your first listen of the day. For your second, why don't you check out the Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcast. If you have a question or a topic, you can email us, as we heard, lockwftpod@gmail.com. That's lockwftpod@gmail.com. Or if you want to do the voicemail, which we also heard, 301-615-3577. That's 301-615-3577. Load up the voicemail right now, and we'll get as many of your reactions in throughout the week as we can. That's it for today, Washington Football Team fans. Thanks again for joining us. We are free and available on all platforms right here on the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast. For David Harrison, Washington Football Team beat writer for SI.com's Fan Nation, I'm Chris Russell, co-host of the Russell and Medhurst Show on the Team 980 with Pete Medhurst. We'll be back with another edition shortly right here on the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast.